I'm Katie Mastoris. I'm the Senior Security Strategist for Microsoft. I'm here with Dan Kaminsky, the Director of Penetration Testing for IOActive. Dan, thanks for joining us at yet another Blue Hat. I don't think you've missed a single one.
I try.
We really appreciate you being here. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be talking about tomorrow.
Well, it's been one heck of a year. DNS had a problem.
A little bit.
Just a small one. Pretty much all major applications on the internet actually use DNS to figure out where they should deliver their traffic. So when DNS has a problem, major applications give their traffic to bad guys. And so this talk is about what actually the bug was that allowed traffic to be redirected, what we did about it, because it was a 8-month-long conspiracy, and why it was so very important. I mean, I certainly had no expectations that it would be so ridiculously important to the rest of the application ecosystem for DNS to be solid. And the reality is when DNS goes down, everything just falls apart.
So talk about complexity of the issues. So tell me about some of the experiences you had in reporting this vulnerability to the appropriate parties and then also in helping to orchestrate its ultimate resolution.
Well, the reporting of this really began with contacting Paul Vixey. Mm-hmm. Paul Vixey is the president of ISC and is also, for 15 years, one of the core maintainers of the internet's most popular name server, Bind. So Paul's an institution. He knows everyone who's anyone everywhere. And so when we started talking about this, we started really quickly figuring out who were the people who, if we actually got them on board, could get things fixed. Mm-hmm. And it, a lot of people won't realize how fast this was, but it was February 20th that I talked to Paul. And it was March 31st that actually Microsoft hosted a secret summit for all of us. 16 engineers came in from all over the world. About a quarter of them didn't even know what was wrong. They just heard Paul saying, there's a problem, you got to come to Microsoft on this day. And we came, we looked at the problem, and we realized if we were going to do something about it, we'd have to do the same thing, and in fact, something of an embarrassing thing. Dan J. Bernstein in 1999 told everyone, guys, you've got to make DNS at least 65,000 times more secure. Here's how you do it. Well, 9 years later, everyone's like, Dan was right. All right, let's go do what Bernstein wanted. And that's what we did. And on July 8th, there were patches for pretty much every major platform on Earth.
That's actually pretty fast when it comes to how many parties were involved. And also with the complexity of rolling out something as pervasive and important as a DNS patch. So what were some of the follow-on experiences that you had that you'd like to talk about?
Well, the one I like to talk about is the fact that the numbers are pretty good. That, you know, Nominum, not even the largest of the name server providers, got 120 million patched. That Microsoft has Windows updates, so pretty much all the Windows machines got patched immediately. That so many IT admins took and spent the extra hours and patched Bind. You know, people being safe, these are things I like to talk about. Things I have to talk about, because if we're going to learn from this, we have to look at what didn't work well.
Absolutely.
First off, we had all sorts of problems with the firewalls. It turns out we were randomizing ports, and the random port would hit the firewall, and the firewall would make it unrandom and send it off on its merry way. So we kind of had an entire group, the firewall vendors that we didn't work with, and we suffered for that. The other thing that was a big problem was just, you know, I've been doing DNS for years. I thought I could vouch to the security community the legitimacy of my own bug. I mean, who's going to doubt me on DNS? Okay, you can't vouch for your own internet-threatening bug. You don't know. You're too attached to it. You've been embedded in it for months and months and months. So I went ahead and went out with no peer review. When someone asked me point blank what was the bug, I refused to tell them. And this caused a lot more controversy than there ever had to be. So it was a somewhat controversial approach. The entire thing was based on, let's have a little bit of partial disclosure, just enough to get people enough information to apply the patches. It worked okay. It could have been an easier experience for all parties involved.
So it seems like really, you were straddling two worlds here. So you were, on the one hand, trying to do the most responsible thing and have the internet not implode. Mm-hmm. So you were trying to give the good guys enough information to apply the patches, but not give the bad guys enough information to exploit. And then on the other hand, this other world that you were dealing with is the security researcher community and their, you know, usual demand for transparency. So, I mean, in the future, how do you think you're going to be able to manage that, you know, basically that straddling of those two worlds?
I think the big thing to recognize is the security community is credible today, but you can't take that for granted. One of these days, someone's just going to come up with a claim that is absolutely a lie, that is just untrue, and they're going to say, I can't tell you the full story because that would be good for the bad guys. So go buy my stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to happen. And the embarrassing part is that I've made it easier for that to happen because I showed at the end of the day there was something legitimate. Well, it's a small extension of what I did to say, well, we can't patch it because someone would attack it, or we can't talk about it in full because somebody would attack it. And then the floodgates are open for all the charlatans of the world. Mm-hmm. So the security community has a real need for transparency because there's just so much opportunity for fraud without it. On the flip side, the IT community needs time. Mm-hmm. And that's something the security community has never really wrapped their mind around, that patches, especially complicated patches, like it turns out this one was, they can't be applied instantaneously. Mm-hmm. Your job's not done when the code's on a website. Right. Job is done when your mom goes to the website and doesn't get owned. So it's not always that you can release a patch that won't get reverse engineered immediately. Mm-hmm. We thought we had one in this case. Now it turns out, interestingly enough, we were wrong. The vulnerability that we found was broken in 53 hours. Mm-hmm. That if the way we patched this bug was so distant from the actual vulnerability, if people can reverse engineer this patch, they can reverse engineer every patch.
Right, and we've definitely seen that. You know, Microsoft patches, I think the record for reversed Microsoft update is about 2 hours.
Yeah. So it would be nice. Certainly, it was helpful in the end run because we did get 13 days of the full details not being out there.
And that's a valuable 13 days.
When you actually look at the patching numbers, a lot of the people who patched actually patched within that 13. I would have preferred 30. We had more people, you know, that 120 million number wasn't 120 million 13 days in. Mm-hmm. But it was 120 million 30. It's a bit rough. We're evolving new ways because ultimately our responsibility is to protect customers.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how do you think the best way for us to go about, you know, striking this important balance, knowing that, you know, the expertise is out there to reverse engineer any update or patch that really comes out? I mean, what's the best thing that we can do at this point?
I think ultimately that the number of scenarios where partial disclosure could even potentially be helpful is fairly limited. Mm-hmm. There will be scenarios where it will be helpful. There are also scenarios where the IT community really does need a clear and consistent message from the security community saying, no, this one's a big deal, break process. Now, a lot of hackers don't even realize process exists, but the amount of process breaking that went into patching all this critical company infrastructure to patch all the name servers was enormous. Like, I am so thankful to all the people in the IT community who I'd like to point out didn't complain, didn't call the patch fake. They just recognized, wow, if DNS goes bad, watch my DNS logs for 5 minutes, I know I gotta patch it. So the IT community didn't complain, but there was still a lot of mixed messages from us, the security community. Mm-hmm. So my belief is that we need some sort of counsel, or at least some sort of, on day one, somebody not associated with the development or deployment of the patch. Someone has to vouch and say, oh no, this one's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do with it. I simply did peer review. This is a big deal. This should violate process.
Right. Do you think that maybe the certs of the world could step into that role, or do you think it belongs in some other kind of abstract council that hasn't been created yet?
CERT has an important use to it. Mm-hmm. But I think what we need is look, the press reports on hackers. Mm-hmm. It needs to be a voice from the hacking community, from the security community, from the people who are out there doing the research, giving the talks. Not because CERT is bad, because CERT was critical to patching this DNS vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You think I have contacts at dozens and dozens and dozens of network hardware vendors? I don't. CERT has a critical role to play. Mm-hmm. But in terms of limiting the controversy on these kind of bugs, we need voices that are as effective at telling a finder, hey dude, it's not as bad as you think, as in telling the IT community, no, really, you've got to do something about this. And that's the value that I think that some sort of council can add. And it may just be the council is just a meeting place, a matchmaking service between a particular vulnerability and the voice in the community who is most trusted for that particular class of bug. Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be okay.
So, maybe an impromptu Jedi Council of researchers that are accepted both in the researcher community and in the IT community.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's what it seems like you're saying, is they need to straddle those two worlds as you had to. Mm-hmm.
Controversy delays patching. Mm-hmm. And that, in my mind, is the active harm. Look, I'm doing this because I want my mom to be able to surf the internet and not get hacked. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my motivation here.
She's a nice lady. I've met your mom, you know?
She's awesome. She comes to Black Hat along with Grandma.
Right.
Yeah, I want Mom and Grandma to be able to use the internet and everything to be great. And if there's a big controversy, the security community fighting amongst itself, that's not good. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what situations are going to justify partial disclosure. Mm-hmm. Some may. There may never again be one. I can certainly see the harms and the benefits, and it's not sure where they align. Mm-hmm. I'm happy at how much got patched. I'm worried about some of the longer-term side effects. But certainly, we can have a more consistent and clear voice on day one regarding the legitimacy of a bug.
Sure.
Especially since now, all the press wants to do is report every bug is, the end of the internet,
Chicken Little, the sky is falling, yes.
Cyber eschatology, come on, stop it. The internet will survive pretty much anything. Just, if we can limit some of the controversy, because if all the controversy says is the security community doesn't know what's going on, and we need our credibility, mm-hmm. and we need the ability to also say with a unified voice, no, that's probably not legit. If it was legit, they would have NDA'd with one of us. They didn't NDA, therefore it's not legit. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, I look forward to, hearing more as this develops. The DNS vulnerability was certainly a landmark, in the disclosure landscape. It was a landmark in the cross-vendor collaboration landscape.
The vendors were great.
People
came, they didn't even know what the bug was. They just knew they had to come to Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap your mind around that. You don't know why you're going to Microsoft. You just know you need to.
Right. You have been summoned. Yes, exactly.
And so, that was, great of Cisco, great of Microsoft, great of ISE, great of Nominum, great of NLNet Labs. People came and we fixed the problem, mm-hmm. at least to the degree that it needed to at this time.
Well, that's great. Any final thoughts you want to leave the viewers with?
Yeah. We shouldn't have been this vulnerable to DNS getting hacked. We all thought SSL would save us. When I finally looked at SSL, it didn't do the job that I thought it was going to. We are seeing a lot of bugs that come down to when there's a man in the middle, when there's something like a DNS attack, mm-hmm. that allows a bad guy to interpose himself. You're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You're in more trouble than you should be in, because at the end of the day, all of the major bugs of 2008, or at least most of them, have all centered around when you talk to someone on the internet, you have no idea who they are.
Mm-hmm.
From the BGP bugs, to the bugs on certificate generation, to this amazing SNMPv3 bug that hit most of the network infrastructure in the world, all we see time and time and time again is we just don't identify ourselves well to each other. And because that's wrong, DNS is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your talk at Blue Hat. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was a good time.